Beautiful tunes bring us to exactly 13 minutes after the hour, 2 o'clock. I'll be taking up on Somorano and I am Usmangali. So right about now, though, we're no longer two, we're four, right? And we're joined by Paseka Likale and Votelwa Machola, two parents. As you may well know, every Friday we do speak all things autism, newer disorders, newer diversity center, all of that good stuff. I'd like these two beautiful people in front of me to kindly introduce themselves.
Hi guys, my name is Paseka Likale. I'm one of the parents raising a child with autism.
Hi, I'm Votelwa. Good afternoon there to the listeners. I'm Votelwa Majola. I'm the parent to the 17-year-old boy who is autistic.
Mm. On that note, maybe tell us your child's name and his age.
His name is Lusapho. And he is 17. He turned 17 last month.
Beautiful. Kind of, what does Lusapho mean? Family.
Yeah.
Lusapho,
our family.
Uh-huh. Paseka?
Yeah. My son's name is Aubagwe. Aubagwe Ramgulas. Using the mother's surname.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm still fighting that, but yeah.
Okay. All right. How old is your son?
He's 14.
Okay.
He's turning 15 next year, Jen.
Okay. Sure.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Sure. Beautiful. We've been discussing this actually. Unfortunately, we don't really have a lot of schools that accommodate children with autism. I don't know. I'm not sure about you guys. Which schools do you guys, your children attend? And what happens in those schools? Are they accommodating? Are they not?
Okay, I'll start. My son is, the schooling has been quite a journey, so he's attended various schools.
Mm.
But where he has stayed longer, he started in Cape Town at Tafelberg School.
Mm-hmm.
Is an LSEN school starting from grade 1 until grade 12. But we relocated to Johannesburg, and now he's currently at Delta Park School in Blackgowrie. It's also a special needs school.
Okay.
It does have accommodations, and both of these schools are actually government schools.
Wow. Really?
Yes.
I don't know why I'm shocked, but I really am, but also glad in the same breath. Paseka, are you also sharing the same experience or not?
Yeah. My son attends a nice school in Randburg called Randburg Clean School.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's also a government school, and he's been there from the age of 7. And he's 14 now. He's been
sure.
there for 7 years. I'm sure he's one of the veterans there. So yeah, it's very much accommodating.
Yeah.
They it's specialized with this kid with autism and other disabilities, but we okay there. We're getting all the support that we need from the government and everyone else involved, donations and all that. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Okay. Can each of you please inform us of the events that took place before your child was diagnosed and how the journey has been after the diagnosis?
Okay. For me, because Lusapho is my second child, so I've had a child before, and they are 23 months apart. So when Lusapho was born, I already had a 23-month-old boy who is neurotypical, no challenges. When Lusapho was born, I actually had no challenges, to be honest with you. He was never a sick child at all. The only thing that was different with him was his relationship with other kids. For instance, we're attending a birthday party.
Mm-hmm.
He would play alone or just play with his brother.
Sure.
Also, the way he was playing with his cars, he would just line them up. He was absolutely too smart for a 2-3 year old who would do the maths timetable, the times of 12. Like, mm-hmm. And this person has never been to school, so he would pick up the information mostly from the Barney television.
Wow.
And all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
But then what was more striking about him was that even though he could sing the national anthem of South Africa at the age of 2, he could not say mama.
Oh,
he could not call the name.
Mm.
When you're calling his name, he would just look at you, but he would never respond. He was not able to say mama, dada, brother, whatever, like that. He was basically not talking. So that was that journey. And the worst journey, and I know I spoke positively about schooling, and hence I said only those schools that have been sustainable. Before that, my child was kicked out of about 4 schools before he turned 6.
No.
So that has been the journey, because you get to school, the especially the, what are they called now, the pre-grade one.
Kind of, sure, yeah. See, yeah.
Yeah.
With R's.
Before the grade, yeah, the grade R's and below.
Okay.
Yeah. So those grade R's, you would battle the minute you tell people that I'm coming to, I want to register my child and he's autistic. Then people already, they put a barrier to like, oh no, we don't know that. We can't have your child like that. So that has been for me the most frustrating journey, whereby my child gets rejected and kicked out of school. Just because when there was a fire drill, then he became nervous and anxious and wandered around.
Sure.
So it's been that journey. And that's when I actually made a conscious decision that my child is not going to go to the private schooling. He is going to go to the government school, whereby I can hold the system accountable.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hmm. Paseka?
Yeah, with me, it's a different story. Abaku is my firstborn.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a child when I was 21. My partner was 20 at the time. And yeah, we just had pregnancy was okay, no issues. The child was born. We didn't have any issues at all. Until at some point, he could say mama and papa, those basic things.
Yeah.
At some point, he started to regress. And we didn't know what to do. We didn't actually think there was something wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know as black people, we think, you know, he's a bit slow. Catch up. We'll be okay. But that never happened. And what Victoria experienced in primary school or in grade R, my son experienced in grade, because he went to grade until the age of 5. And after that, he had to go to school. But because he did not have a diagnosis at the time, so they didn't actually allow him to get into the special schools, because we could see there was something wrong already.
Yeah.
Then we had to get the diagnosis. And during that period, the child needed to be somewhere, Gretsch, or because he couldn't stay at home all the time. And
exactly.
Every time he went to Gretsch, they would say, no, he's too old to actually attend Gretsch. So I knew it was an excuse. Then I took him from here to Free State to stay with my mom to also help with the diagnosis. But my mother decided, you know what? In the meantime, I'm still attending all this to attend to the doctors and get everything done. Let me just try to enroll him in a crèche in the local area. Very happy. Had a school bag, went to school, they accepted him. A week later, my mom wanted to pay, to say, guys, I know I didn't pay on the first day, so now it's my time to pay. They said, no, it's fine. We cannot accept him here.
Yeah.
Because, remember, other kids are sleeping.
Oh.
He's hyper. He's waking there. So the other kids will sleep around 1.
Mm.
Everyone is relaxed. The crèche is quiet. He can't do that. So he's waking up the other kids so that they can go and play outside.
Mm.
And that became a problem for the teacher. So they had no choice but to turn him back. At some point, you know, I was angry at that time. But thinking about it now, you can see these people did not have anyone that was autistic before, especially in the rural area. So it was their first time and they needed to learn.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, we had to make a plan. And yeah, we survived. He survived because a year later he was able to get everything done and he was in school. So
yeah.
Yeah.
I think you guys have already mentioned this, but maybe let's kind of delve into it some more. What are the signs that you guys saw on your children when maybe you realize, no, my child is actually unique? Yeah.
Okay. For me, the signs were that, firstly, he only started walking when he was about to be 2. Even though he was a happy bubble child,
yeah,
and laughing and playing, there was a delayed development in terms of speech. And then also just the interaction and the communication, it was quite different if you compare with the children of his age. And what was the other one? The other one, it was sensory, yeah, mm-hmm. whereby he was very sensitive to anything. For instance, I think he must have been 18 months when he stopped wearing a nappy. And he would try and put a nappy and, you know, and he wouldn't. He wouldn't even mess on himself. He was quick to potty train himself because of the sensitivity.
Sure.
Of if, for instance, you're wearing a nappy, it's going to be wet and all of that. So those were the things. And the wandering around, I remember very well, he would, if he's seen something interesting, he could walk for like 2 kilometers if you just let him walk.
Mm-hmm.
He had this strength that you don't know where it's coming from.
He literally couldn't explain.
And at the time, I didn't know, but now I understand it was a way of releasing and saying, I just want to be free from mm-hmm. all this clutter that's around. Because remember, our homes are noisy and wherever you go. So he just wanted to wander around. He would run. He would open the garage and get out before it closes.
Wow.
And then he, fortunately, we're in an enclosed complex.
In a state, yeah.
But he would walk around. And I remember the other time the neighbor brought him in there. It's like, I think this is your child. I'm like, we thought it's in his room.
Jeez.
But yeah, so there were those things until such time when his grandmother she used to be a midwife, so she was like, there's developmental challenges I'm seeing, I'm just gonna take this child to the pediatrician. So that's when he got the diagnosis. Okay. So when he got there, then the pediatrician said, look, the child, I got a very silly diagnosis, if I were to say, which was blank and very problematic, where someone says, well, the child is autistic. He can never be educated. He will never be able to communicate. And you write this on a piece of paper. For me, it means nothing. In fact, it creates anxiety.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think those are the things that I want to delve in, that people throw, as much as it's good to have the diagnosis, because you want to know what's wrong with your child.
Yeah.
But if you go around just dishing out the diagnosis without supporting the parent and saying things like that your child will never be able to be alone, it's never going to be educated, and, you know, all those things, it's anxiety striking to the parents. And I've met so many parents that are living with anxiety because
of
how it was, and there's no information. Mm. When you start following up, and what does this mean? Absolutely nobody knows. Even the health professionals, it's not a topic that most people understand. And in fact, I've got friends that are doctors. They've said, you know what? I remember at med school, there was probably a one page in the modules out of all the 7 years of studying medicine that autism was mentioned.
Sure.
Yeah.
Imagine, Basika, do you have what were the signs? What signs do you see that kind of made you realize that something was wrong or unique with your baby?
Okay, so like I said, he started regressing in terms of his speech.
Sure.
And then it got worse as time went by. So from there, we knew that something was wrong. But with him, the difference was that he was growing up with one of his cousins. They are probably almost the same age. So I think he was copying everything that his cousin was doing. So it was very difficult for us to see other things that we could have seen if he maybe was growing up alone.
Yeah.
So, but talking to family, you know, when you're chilling around, it's December time, you're talking. And my brother mentioned that, you know what, when the first, because he was born in Rustenburg, and I'm from Excelsior, which is next to Tawantinsuyo in the Free State. When they came to visit, my brother said, you know what, then I could see that there was something wrong with the boy because he wouldn't keep a straight eyesight. But I think me as a father was just excited to see my son. So
exactly.
I missed most of the things, but I think we only realized when we were closer to him, spending every day with him, that, you know what, this boy has something different. He's very hyper. He even likes things that are aligned. Like Wutola saying, they always want to be clean. So he would fall on his hands instead of dusting himself like other kids would. He would want to dust himself with you. He doesn't want to get dirty.
Yeah.
Even with the friends that he chooses, the people that he plays with, you will see. The ones that are a bit, you know, not taking care of themselves, he would like to stay
away. He's very selective.
The ones that are a bit clean. And he prefers to actually engage with adults. You will see, even when he's sitting around watching TV, he prefers to watch TV with the older guys.
Wow.
Because I think he thinks he's one of the big guys. But yeah, that's our journey there.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, it was a bit difficult, but as soon as we started to see that some of the things are wrong, I would Google was my game. I was always there checking.
Yeah. And that's where I want us to go. You're speaking of difficulty during the time. You're speaking of you Googling after noticing that there were signs that your son was unique or not kind of the same like other or the peers or his peers. How was it like? What were the challenges, before the diagnosis?
The issue of not knowing what's happening. It was my first child, so I thought some of the things were normal. I'm thinking, no, this is normal. Firstborn, my son is okay. Because as a father, you know, when you have a boy, you always proud. So even if there's other things that are happening, you always find the excuses to actually cover for them. And yeah, I think that actually delayed us a bit. Because if we had, like Richard was saying, family member was there that actually could see that there were other things that were not happening. But if we had the same structure in the family, I think we could have actually had a diagnosis much earlier.
Yeah.
Which is something that is a bit challenging, but I'm just glad that we made it and we're still here.
Mm. Okay. Yes. Also, the question is, how is it being a parent of an autistic child before the diagnosis? So you don't know that they actually have autism. So how was that journey?
For me, it was perfect, you know, and I'll say this because, I'm the person who is always, of the view that people are different. My child not walking when he turned one or when he was 15 months wasn't a problem for me because I'm like, he's different. He is not physically sick. There's nothing to worry about. He's the most healthiest child. All the organs are working. In fact, he's the most easiest child to live with because you just need to know that, okay, this one cannot talk. If he wants juice, he's gonna grab you to the fridge and point at it, you know, and he knows what he wants, but he just is unable to vocalize it. So, even before before having a diagnosis, which was done fairly early, because it was done before he turned three, must have been 2.5 years when we got the diagnosis. So it was in the sense that, okay, I'm living with two different kids here. This one talks and says what he wants to do. This one doesn't. So as a family, we've got to unlearn some of the things that we've learned to do casually.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so you realize that if you are invited in a party, your child is sensitive to noise. You have noticed that by watching your child. Therefore, you try and be selective on who you visit, and at the time I decided there's very few friends that I'm gonna come to with my kids because I have toddlers and this other toddler, if he's grabbing something, is holding on for dear life, so I'm gonna end up having enemies because people don't understand. So for me it was fine. In fact, the funny story that I wanna just say, his grandfather once said to me, now that we know what's wrong, he's like, when this child was very small, you were so chilled. And I was even saying, this one is very, very spoiled. He just needs a bit of a hiding.
Yeah. So,
but now he's only telling me now. But again, I'm that parent who does not hit the kids, whether they are neurotypical or not.
Yeah.
I'm just that parent. So for me, life was great until such time. Then I have to maneuver the system. I have to always be wearing boxing gloves because I'm defending my child from the society, from the air hostess who is saying, no, you can't do this. And I'm saying, but ask me first, don't talk to my child because you do not know my child.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm saying before that, life was great. we change things, of course, at home, in terms of how we communicate
exactly.
and how we had to change. We had to change even lots of adjustments.
Yeah.
As a parent, you got to do that.
Exactly.
Even the timing, because you know now, okay, these are the things. I cannot afford to be late anyway, because I cannot be rushing my child.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to be always on time, especially if I'm going with him. And as a result, I have also been that kind of become that kind of a person. Like, if I'm 30 minutes there early, what's the damage? Nothing. It's actually nicer. We children relax. We
exactly.
know. Yeah.
Exactly.
So we don't rush as a family. We like now.
There's actually pros and cons to this. It's
yes,
not
there
just cons.
Yes,
it's exactly.
Order. It actually brings order.
Exactly.
Because people with autism
as well.
Tend to be very much orderly.
Mm. We are joined by Baseka Legale and Votelo Majola. We are sharing some experiences of parenting a child or children with autism. 32 minutes after the hour, 2 o'clock, we're getting into news with Smangalisa. On the other side of things, we're speaking navigation as far as a parent with a child or children with autism. Share with us your thoughts, 0817255228. You know the drill. WhatsApp line, send in those voice notes or those texts, alternatively at UJFM across all social media platforms. Keep it locked right here at UJFM. Beautiful tunes on that one is South of Milano by Martin. It's Martin, yes. It's MA10, the number 10. 38 minutes after the hour, 2 o'clock, we are still sitting with Baseka Legale and Votelo Majola discussing and sharing some experiences of parenting children with autism. Some challenges faced by parents raising kids with autism right about now. Smiley, so that's a question.
Yeah. So we've heard a lot about how you've dealt with the diagnosis of your child. I want to know how do your children form relationships with people in the house, maybe extended family members and just the community at large? Like, what does that look like?
Okay. So during the break, I was actually telling Vutera about the story that happened where we live. So my son is a person that likes to go outside and play with other kids. And so we live in a complex, so he would actually visit, he would go to other people's houses. So you can imagine a child that is autistic and verbally, he actually says just one thing. So he would literally just go into someone else's place, just sit down and watch TV without saying anything. So this other boy just brings my son back home. And I'm thinking, what's happening now? He says, no. You know, kids just talk. He says, my mom doesn't want him to come to our house.
Sure.
So, yeah, it was difficult because it goes back to us having to work very hard to make sure that we educate people about autism.
Exactly.
Yeah, so when that happened, it was very painful. But we, you know, you look at everything both sides because these people don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
But I can say on the positive side, when you go to the malls, you don't get that staring where people are just staring at you on what's happening with your boy. I've never experienced that. And I've had other parents complaining about it, saying it's uncomfortable. We trying our best. But for me, I think I've been one of those lucky guys that has never experienced that. I think with the community from Free State, even here, Cosmo City, they've been very understanding. They've been very accommodating. The family, friends, everyone. Because I think because it's something new. Most people didn't know about autism for the longest time.
Yeah,
only
yeah.
now that people are talking about it. So when they see him, they're happy to experience being around him. So it makes it easy for us. But like I say, it's always a journey for us. Because when he was still young, with not being verbal, he would actually walk around and we'd have to look for him for 30 minutes to an hour. You start panicking, thinking your child is missing. But then you find out he's at the house, by the corner, they're listening to loud music. Like I said, he hangs out with the adults. So he would just chill there. So until we knew that these are the houses that he goes to. And that helps us a lot because the family knows it's our Bible. So as soon as we are out, it's two or three people in the family. They always say, no, you're looking for our Bible, he's there. So being in the community where people understand, although they don't understand what is autism, they are learning and they are very much accommodating.
Exactly.
From here to Free State, like I said, Free State is in the rural area where we're coming from, but my mom never experienced any issues except at the crèche where they didn't know what to do. But the community at large, they accommodated him. Even when he went, walked very far from home, they would actually bring him home.
Wow.
Which was very nice. So we've never experienced anything bad except for one or two, but it's understandable. we learn.
Exactly. Yeah. Shout out to Cosmos City and the Free State. Shout out to the community members.
Okay, my story, I just want to say firstly, I think from the talks we've had, now people understand that autism is different.
Yeah.
No two children are the same.
Exactly.
And my child, for instance, falls under the, what we call high functioning. He's got no challenges intellectually. So he attends the school and he's currently in grade 9, right? So that's the basis of to say he is high functioning. He can do basic things. But the challenges I have had, I think the challenges I'm having with the community when, and I'll explain what I mean by community, my community is not, I'm massive primarily because somehow in people's mind, your child does not look like he's autistic.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, how do you look like he autistic? You know?
Yeah.
So that's one. Primarily because he's got an invisible disability.
Sure.
The other issue for me that I have is, the church. I used to go to church, when I used to live in Cape Town. And I would go to church because I want to, I'm Anglican. I want to go to church. And then my child makes sounds because first of all, church is noisy. Black churches are noisy. You know, we clap, we do this.
That's a given. Honestly.
And then chaotic, the reverend bringing the table.
Exactly.
You know, when someone is starting a song.
And that's how it goes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So in the midst of that chaos, so someone expects that a child who has sensory is going to sit still and listen and sit up straight.
Mm.
It does not happen. So I stopped. At some point, I was like, actually, I'm tired of having to explain to each and every next. And my child would walk up to the altar. And because I grew up kids doing that in my home.
Which is true. Yeah,
but
yeah.
Now I'm in the suburbs and people are kind of like, this thing is such a strange thing. So I was like, you know what? Just go to church, leave your children at home. So that's one thing. Mm-hmm. I usually don't go to him in church at all. In fact, I haven't been with him to church for quite a number of years.
Yeah.
Secondly, the other community, my family is okay. My family knows, they have been my support structure. My sister and his brother has been the most supportive, I must say. His brother has been the most supportive. He assists him with homework and all of that. And my friends, I'm able to ask friends to pick him up from school when I can't. The bigger community again would be now in issues of traveling, because for me, community is whoever you're interacting
with. Exactly.
So now you're flying to wherever.
Mm.
You get to the airport, the flight is delayed. Now you're saying to the person, after they've delayed you for like 30 minutes, it's chaotic, it's full there. I'm like, can we just check in first when this flight opens? Now someone is saying, no, you have not booked priority. I'm saying, I understand, but my child is suffering from anxiety right now as we speak. And the person is giving me issues. I'm like, but on your terms and conditions, I make that to read.
Mm.
There's autism, and I've ticked it, and which is different from what I've experienced when I was traveling overseas.
Yeah.
In terms of the community there, because they are so understanding and all of that. The typical one I've just experienced, I nearly forgot. A year ago, I go to Home Affairs, in Pretoria. You booked the time, right? Get there. 20 to 1, it's my time slot. And then it's chaotic. I'm like, okay, now, because my child works on time. If I say to him at 1 o'clock, we're going to be sitting with whoever,
1 o'clock,
it has to be 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
So now this gentleman, I'm saying we have a 1 o'clock. And now this, and my child is, I can hear now because he's making some sounds because he's thinking it's 1:05. We've been sitting outside. This man, I say to him, Budi, we have a 1 o'clock and can we come in? We're coming to do the ID. This man and my child is suffering from anxiety. Ati, is he sitting in the shadow? And I'm like, what has that got to do with anxiety, Budi? I'm saying, that's the thing, isn't it? You can't explain them. But we are panicking right now and people are big. It's so full in Pretoria. And I think, no, as long as he's sitting in the shadow, he'll be fine. That's why I'm talking about always having your gloves on. And it goes back to the part where the community, instead of trying to understand your challenge and you are putting it well to say, I am asking for this. This someone just already makes an assumption that maybe you are trying to cheat the queue or you think you are special that you want to go in. And I'm saying my child is suffering from a disability.
Yeah.
And then, but no, to me, he looks okay. Where you would be spending, for simple calculation, 200 rand monthly, you know, maintenance of the child or whatever. With a child with autism, it's five times that amount.
Yeah.
Because there is so much support that you need. You cannot, otherwise you would die of anxiety if you do not have a support, whether it's a nanny or someone in the home.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, the school transport. My child cannot go, for instance, on the school transport because what's going to happen in the school? There's bullying and all those things. Those things would happen if he's in the schooling transport. So there's that financial cost, and they break things. If he breaks something, for him, it's like, oh no, we buy a new one. He even says so. I'm like, no, you broke this. Oh no, go get a new one.
What's some lunabo?
Yeah. So there's so many challenges. There's a financial the support I get from school is really the accommodations because it's required by the government. But even then, and I want to emphasize this, if you have a child that's going to school, the South African teachers do not know much about what to do. As a parent, you have to be the one who's actually self-educated and almost demand what you want for your child. Yeah. Otherwise, it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
Whether you say my child is autistic, remember, they don't know your child. You know your child.
Exactly.
So you've got to say, I need to have A, B, C, D.
Mm. Paseka, what has been your experience with Obako?
With Obako, it's a different thing. It's a different thing. Because I would say, We got the support that we needed.
Yeah.
The family has been there. Even at church, like what I was saying, with us, my son is actually doing some confirmation around December with the rest of the teenagers in church. The church was very much accommodating. The pastor made sure that he doesn't need to attend the classes, but at least he was able to he's going to be able to graduate without being asked those questions.
Yeah.
So we're trying to normalize everything as much as we can because the problem is that once you start making the child feel like he's different, he's going to start acting differently.
Mm-hmm.
So I think emotionally supporting the child and showing him that if this one is doing this, you also can do it.
Yeah.
Some of the things he won't be able to do, but he'll try. But at least he'll be enjoying being around other kids and trying to act as normal as we can. You experienced the same thing with me. Last year, December, they were fighting for a remote at home.
Yeah.
So we left them. I think we went to a family function. We came back. The TV was broken. The screen was smashed.
Sure.
So now we're asking what happened. No, he wanted to watch cartoons and we wanted to watch something different. So we voted. He lost. Then they grew up together. So they didn't know. So it's like, everybody wants to watch this. You want to watch this alone. No, it's not happening. They're taking the remote. Face. The screen is gone.
Mm.
Then I ask him, Papi, what are you going to watch? He says, no, buy a new one. Just like that.
Mm.
They're all the same. They will say the same thing, but buy a new one. Mm.
Sure.
So raising a child with autism is very expensive.
Yeah.
You heard it say. We used to live in Cosmo City. Because of the area that we live in, we felt like, you know what, it's a bit far from the school. Traveling from Cosmo City to get to the school, he needed to wake up around 5 a.m. to get to school in Epic. So that was a bit challenging. Being in the transport for 2 hours was worse. And during those days, there was no scholar transport. The school are still developing, so there was no scholar transport. So after school, there's extra classes for the kids that are attending the high school. He needed to wait until 3 o'clock. So he would leave home at 5 and get home around 3:30. A child with autism cannot take that.
Yeah.
He will not take standing, even waiting for those kids to finish extra
classes. It's a lot.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
So we had to move from Cosmo to Randburg.
Mm.
Renting in Randburg.
Sure. Can you imagine?
And he's growing. He's 14 now. He wants his own. Now he has to get it together. expenses, everything. Mm. And it's not just the expenses that you can see on daily basis. There are certain things that are hidden. Like when we were raising our son, one of us had to work and one of us had to stay at home to take care of the child. So my wife was the one that was staying at home. So instead of getting two salaries, I have to do everything. And not that we actually cannot, my wife cannot get a job, but she had to take care of the child. And if you think about it now, she's at an age where most people will say we want experience, 5 years, 6 years experience.
Exactly.
But she doesn't have that. She studied, she did all these things, but experience she doesn't have.
Mm.
So employers are not hiring her. You can always explain, I couldn't actually get a job because I had to take care of my son. So it means the expenses are with one person.
Exactly.
Life is becoming expensive.
Mm.
The school is not free. If you take your child to a free school, we tried one. The school was so full. My son, you know, they threw a ball at him. He acted like he couldn't even catch the ball. And we know, we play with him, we call him.
All the time.
At the back of the house, this guy, he comes back running, but they're calling him, he's not listening, he's not doing anything. They're saying, no, you guys are delusional. You don't want to understand that your child is very sick. He's not as sick as you guys are saying that, no, he can hear, he can play, he can do it. They say, no, he can't do that. Then we took him to a fee-paying school.
Mm.
He got there, they gave him puzzles, eating the puzzles, everything, the assessment, everything done quick, he gets into a school.
Yeah.
We have to pay for the school fees. We have to relocate to a place that is very expensive to make sure that it's next to your school and
exactly.
doesn't have to travel that much.
Yeah.
Still, there's transport. You can't walk to school. I don't have a car. So I literally have to depend on public transport. There's no taxi from where I live to the school. Now I have to pay for a special transport to get him there. Luckily, the school at the time had developed to such a point that they have scholar transport.
Yeah.
You still have to pay for it. Still. It's not something that you can just ignore. Going to Free State, we use public transport. From here to Excelsior, 6 hours.
Sure.
An autistic child, 6 hours in a taxi is there.
It
their machine.
Yeah.
Luckily, I don't know. These things, you know, they just happen. When you get to Ventersberg, the taxi just stops. It's 3 hours away.
Yeah.
Then we get to buy drinks and other things. Yes. Then that's when he gets to relax. Still, it's very expensive. We'll go there, buy other things. And when you refuse to buy him those things, he starts acting up. You don't have a choice. You don't want to be throwing tantrums. Taxi's waiting for you to leave. They can't wait for your son to actually be throwing tantrums. So those are the hidden hands that are actually chowing the money on a daily basis. And like Vitella said, even the food that you buy, you can't buy juice that has too much sugar in it.
Yeah.
I have to buy things for my daughter and things for my son just to accommodate the two. So everything becomes very expensive. But that's our daily lives. And I think we're getting used to it. But with the economy doing so bad now,
hey,
I think we are getting
it's a loss. I can't even start to imagine.
Yeah.
So, with everything that you've said and your journey and your experiences, do you have any tips or advice for other parents and maybe even family members that are dealing with people that have autism?
I do, and that's one thing. I do more, and I've actually just opened a neuro hub so that we can have those round tables with parents.
Beautiful.
For me, firstly, I just want to say when you see a parent with a child that is battling with a child, give them a hug or ask if you can help.
Exactly.
Rather than judging.
Mm-hmm.
That is mostly not only for people with children that are autistic, but just the community at large. I think it's important that we stop making assumptions that if a child is throwing a tantrum, he's being silly.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that the shirt that they're wearing has got the wrong label, or they are triggered by you wearing a black tie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things like that.
Yeah.
So there's so many things that you may not know. The other tip that I have for parents is that you need to know you are a master of your child, right? As much as a diagnosis, it's got its pros and cons to know, you know,
mm-hmm.
but your child cannot be a label. You know, to get the label helps of saying the child is autistic, but you cannot go around treating your child as that label.
Mm-hmm.
Your child is different. Enjoy that that difference True. That your child is, because that's who he is.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, it's not going to change. Autism cannot be cured. So he is who he is. All you can do as a parent, you got to unlearn so many things that you've learned.
The norms.
And I'll tell you a tip, a small one. Mm. You know, when you see the child running, what do you do? You see the child just running, what do you say?
Do you hold them? Yeah.
That is not going to help a child with autism. Mm. Because you know what? They've decided to run. So what is running, what is in their head is the word run.
Yeah.
So you don't say stop running. You say walk. You say the opposite.
Oh.
You say exactly what the child, what you want the child to do.
Okay.
Not
that they shouldn't do.
Yes.
Okay.
So those are the things. You got to unlearn on how you communicate. There's something called 8-second rule, whereby you give an instruction. You wait.
Yeah.
For them to process, because it's all about the neural processing. There could be delay in processing. So you got to learn to pace yourself. You give an instruction, you wait and check for understanding. And also, especially mothers, we like to give so many instructions. Go to the kitchen, get me a yellow cup and put water there up to this. The water is in the fridge, and also bring me my shoes.
Mm.
That's too many things
for
a child with autism. You know?
Sure.
I want to share show one of the things that touched me not so long last week. So my older son is helping him with homework.
Mm-hmm.
And now he gets anxious because it's too much and all of that. So he sometimes walks around and bang things. So now, because we like, no, we don't bang. You need to open the door properly. So he goes to his brother's door. He goes and writes this thing. This thing says, I'm reading verbatim. I am sorry. I am not screaming, guessing, banging things on purpose.
Oh.
So this is him writing on his, because he realized, so contrary to the fact that, the myth that people with autism have got no emotions, he can see that he has actually upset his brother, and he was doing some things that were wrong. So those are some of the things for me. Be supportive, understand your child's challenges, and be able to communicate it to the next person as well.
Mm-hmm. Right. Unfortunately, we only have a minute left, Paseka. Any advice?
Yeah, I always say awareness is the key.
Mm, definitely.
Is the key, and acceptance is very important.
Yeah.
Like Vutela, I also have a foundation that is actually dealing with educating
Amazing.
Autism. So I'm doing it in Free State. We're all doing our bit to help. So,
yeah. Oh, man. Thank you so much, Paseka. Thank you, Vutela. Thank you so much, guys, for gracing us with your presence. I see Lonwabo is here. Oh, he's game. Yes.
Lusapo.
Oh, Lusapo.
Yes.
Oh, I need to learn wrong. Yes. So, Lusapo, oh, busy. I don't know about that. It's amazing. We wrap it up just like that, man. Just a young message that I'd like to leave with you. Let's celebrate our children. Let's celebrate kids with autism. I think that's what I've learned from you, Vutela. There are definitely pros and cons to this. Let's celebrate them as parents. You will definitely have to unlearn some of the things. You are the master of your child. Wrap it up just like that. Going to news with Smang Ali. So right about now, the drive team is already in studio, ready to take you from now until 6 o'clock. Wrap it up just like that. We'll see you next week, Mantah. Bye.